it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We were doing my confessions during the break there. I was like, hey, that's my idea, Figgy. Okay, so here it is, and it's starting to make more rounds on the social medias. When this play happened, when Nick Chubb scored on a, was it 25-yard run? I think.
It was 25. I'm sorry. I was thrown off by you saying medias, and I really want to be a jerk that goes, you know, media is plural,
no,
right?
I did that on purpose.
Okay, good.
It was for effect, cowboy.
From the All right, we're going to fight after the show. Don't worry about
it. Y'all got it, boss.
It was, for, boss? It was for effect, cowboy. On the social medias.
Are you done?
Yes. Okay, so there's something going around. But keep in mind, when he scored on that 22, 25-yard run, whatever
right,
it was.
25.
The Texans, he only had 32 yards rushing total to that point.
Is that good?
Not good.
Okay.
And there are people saying Todd Bowles, brilliant coach, actually instructed his defense to let the Texans score there so they could be guaranteed to get the ball back with a chance to win or tie, depending on the two-point conversion. I think, I don't know, my math is bad. But anyway, and at first when I saw that, well, my first confession is I didn't even consider that as I'm watching the game. I didn't even consider, I thought it was just a really good play. Finally, you know, Nick Chubb. I think one of my notes was, you know, Nick Chubb just in the nick of time.
He went through clean, too, man.
Clean.
Harrison Bryant had a really good seal on that play.
Which
if you want to be someone who goes, nah, they let that happen. When you have Harrison Bryant out here looking
Nick
like a...
Nick Chubb wasn't touched.
Vita Vea kind of threw his arms up like, oh, I missed him. You know, like, oh, my bad. My first part of the confession...
I'm not seeing the Vita Vea hands go up. He's too old.
I didn't even see it. Consider it. My second one is starting to kind of lean. I'm starting to kind of lean that way, man.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the situation to where they
were. 2 minutes and 15 seconds left.
Yeah.
Three timeouts.
And what was the score? The score was.
Before that.
Because
play,
they probably would have ran the time down a little bit.
It was 14-13 Tampa.
Yes. And then before with that score, it goes to 19-14. Obviously, they go for two and don't get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kind of sounds about right, to be honest.
It sounds about right. I'm starting to lean that way.
Yeah, because the Texans definitely would have bleed the clock down. They would have used.
No, you had no shot.
Tampa probably would have used their timeouts,
mm-hmm.
and they would have had way less time. So it kind of makes sense.
How many timeouts did Tampa have?
They still had three timeouts.
Yeah, all three timeouts. And the 2 point, rather,
And, but they would have burned those timeouts.
A first down would have.
Yeah, they would have burned those timeouts. They would have maybe gone through, they would have gone through the 2 minute
unless the Texans were just foolishly just throwing the ball and dropping it and were stopping the time and all that.
I'm telling you, I'm starting to feel it a little bit. And by the way, if he really did this, As much as Todd Bowles is getting a lot more credit as a very good, if not great, coach, give him more credit because ultimately it was brilliant if that was the case.
The logic lines up. It does line up. But just looking at the play, if this was indeed a let him score like off the jump,
mm-hmm.
we got to get these boys into some acting classes and some opportunities for some plays or some movies. Them boys looked like they were running – a play. The only one that I can maybe say is first and foremost, you go, was it Logan Hall? No, it's actually Deion Jones, linebacker. He allows himself to go and get sealed off pretty easily.
He really does.
Pretty easily by Harrison Bryant.
I've watched this like 15 times in the last.
And you know the other thing is,
and
too.
The other one real quick is Antoine Winfield. Very, very deep.
Just kind of.
He doesn't get it. I mean, once Chubb gets him from the angle, he really lets up once Chubb hits about the 7 yard line.
He's like jogging.
Those are the two guys that I look at and I go, all right, maybe. Other than that, it looks like they're playing.
The crazy thing is, the first when I thought about it after the fact, probably this morning, mm-hmm. I'm thinking like, damn, maybe Chubb should have just sat down at the 1 yard line. But I'm like, damn, they couldn't even get in from the 1 yard line earlier.
Oh,
so I don't even know about that. I'm thinking like, damn, maybe they should have took the touchdown and just play defense.
It's interesting to me. I mean, it has some markings.
I mean, if this defense is anything of what you believe it to be coming into the season. You go, you take your points on the offensive side for Nick Chubb. You go, you get in, and you believe that your defense is capable of holding the other team out of the end zone. I think the best case scenario that I can give you on this theory is the Bucs go, if they're able to pick up the first down, just let it go. Right? We're gonna go up here and we're still going to try and
play. And Winfield had a good angle if you look at that.
But once
they're
out there.
About the 5-yard line, he could have taken him down.
Right. So maybe that's what it is.
And there's like, okay.
We just played D'Amico Ryans, or we rather had D'Amico Ryans live. And I got to admit, something he said makes me feel real sick in the same way as last year. He was talking. D'Amico Ryans was talking about how they're close. Just you know, a couple plays being made wins them this football game, and it really frustrates me because that's not the process-driven approach that we have been told that this organization has, and it feels a lot like last year when early on in the season you're like, oh, but they won the game, and the process of it looks ugly, and there's issues within it, but they're like, yeah, but we won the game, and you know, just tough teams win games. That's results-oriented, and I think you can go and you can say, hey, we were so close to winning this game, but it's similar to looking at this defense and going, well, they only allow, you know, I mean, they were this close to allowing only 14 points, but then you look up and you go, no, but I'm seeing issues. I'm seeing you get run on consistently. I'm seeing you allow big plays. I'm seeing you overrun your coverage or your ability to tackle and miss tackles. Those are the issues that are big issues if you just take away the take away the numbers. You take away the box score and you just go, these are things that I'm seeing. You wouldn't say, oh, well, this is great defense.
Yes.
But then you look up and you go, well, yeah, but they only gave up a couple of touchdowns. And you go, oh, all right, well, we were close. I think that is a big issue that I'm seeing with D'Amico that feels like last year and how I felt last year trying to say, yeah, they're getting these wins. However, these issues that ultimately came up and bit you in the butt later in the season.
Yeah, and I just think it's ridiculous to think that what he told us is what he's telling those guys because, you know, C.J. Stroud – made some bad plays and some bad throws and some bad reads. You know, defensively, you gave up 169 yards rushing. Come on. I don't care how many touchdowns you gave up or whatever. That's an issue.
Yeah, yeah. Very frustrating there. Those are some lunchtime confessions here in the loop from the 713. This is sports radio nonsense. They did not let them score. And then, of course, someone from the other side, 281. Superb clock management by the Bucs. And of course, some of that is points to the idea of when you're right, all the decisions look great, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not.
I'm just kind of thinking what the coaching staff for the Bucs was saying, like, man, if they get through, let them score. They can't stop y'all.
Yeah.
So if we get the ball back with two plus minutes. Yeah.
That's the other part of it. It makes you look
like
kinda,
let them score.
Makes you look kind of bad.
Yeah.
Not kinda. Makes you look bad.
No, I feel you. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's still a Tuesday. Let's do a little college football on a Tuesday, and I feel an argument brewing between myself and Lopez.
Oh, good.
I'll let you find out what it is next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.